This episode is brought to you by Max. The new HBO original limited series, The Sympathizer, is an espionage thriller and cross-culture satire that follows a communist spy during the final days of the Vietnam War and his new life as a refugee in Los Angeles. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr. and based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Sympathizer is streaming now exclusively on Max. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Sweat? You mean armpit tears of weakness brought about by poor deodorant choices? Say goodbye to that salty river that floweth from your underarm with Old Spice Swagger Antiperspirant. Made for 24/7 sweat protection with daily use and an undeniable smell of cedarwood and lime. Giving you the confidence you need to quit your job, move to a remote island, and spend your days frolicking with dolphins. Old Spice Swagger Antiperspirant. Shop Old Spice now.
Bill Simmons hosts the most downloaded sports podcast of all time, with a rotating crew of celebrities, athletes, media staples, and a slew of other friends and family members who always happen to be available. Check out the Bill Simmons podcast on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh my goodness, listen people, happy Tuesday, Mac Mania Podcast back. We still in the building, man. Oh my goodness, I got my fellas with me. See, I got Flobito.com, I got Real Jack Farmer, and back by popular demand, I popularly demanded it, producer extraordinaire, our intrepid producer, Brian H. Waters. What's going on?
The H stands for popular.
Listen, when you hear his name, like, you just know he's a brother, though. Like, you say Brian, and you're like, you hear Waters. I'm like, yo, he back.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for real. Welcome, black man.
Yo, good morning. Oh, guys, it's been a very, very interesting time in wrestling. It's one of the most interesting times that I can remember in my life for many different reasons, you know, and social media is a big part of that. Before I get down to the nitty gritty, forget down to brass tacks, I want to give a little shout out to Bryan Danielson, Minoru Suzuki, putting on a banger of a match. I'm talking about, if you like good old-fashioned collar and elbow, you like the way things done traditionally, you like legends versus legends, you like this kind of stuff, y'all. If you a wrestling purist, Bryan Danielson, Minoru Suzuki, arigato gozaimasu. Thank you very much. I just wanted to talk about how amazing it was, Jack Farmer.
That was absolutely a great match. But of all the shenanigans and hoopla surrounding this past weekend's wrestling, this is what really fascinated me the most, because obviously anyone who knows these two knew it would be an exceptional wrestling match. Yeah. But that was kind of the rub. Anyone who knows these two, and a lot of ink has been spilled about Forbidden Doors, and I've always believed AEW was what they were doing was trying to earn the trust of New Japan Pro Wrestling. I think they did that, but now this match, in my opinion, was going to show if it was worth it. Suzuki's not a household name in the United States, and I was fascinated to see whether he was going to bring in an audience. I looked at the YouTube views as of now, as of recording, just shy of about 1 million. I think they were at like 600,000 first 24 hours.
Wow.
And to me, that shows that, yes, a quote unknown superstar from Japan could be a draw for AEW. And I think down the line, that means this could pay off really big. All that stuff with Impact and everything they've done before, I think this to me showed that they might be able to do some really cool things that will be good business-wise and as a fan.
Japanese wrestling has its own niche. Japanese wrestling is its own entity. Japanese wrestling has a lot of tradition. You know, the great Walter talk about the mat is sacred, but Japanese wrestling is sacred as well. And there are people that follow it, and it's been around. And you hear people like the Finn Balor's of the world and so many professional wrestlers of the world talk about how hard it is to get through the Japanese strong style, and how much they attribute their career and give props to their career for progressing after going to Japan. And it really is just a great thing to see that representation, because Flobo, representation matters.
Oh, absolutely, man. Here's a match that we, as wrestling fans in general, we complain about hot-shotting stuff. And I won't say this match was hot-shotted, but it was put together fairly quickly. So I had concerns about whether or not it was giving it away, whether it was too much. Right. But to your saying about about breaking through Japanese talent. That's kind of been the X factor of the commentary team, Excalibur specifically, right? So here's somebody who approaches it with a little bit more of that intelligence, you know what I'm saying? And it may be a little bit off-putting for casual fans, but over time, it's like, here's why this person is important. And so once you have a good opportunity to get Suzuki through the door, or the forbidden door, or whatever, the forbidden swinging door of the saloon, then that opens up for more people to come through. So it was wins for everybody.
Brian Waters, a lot of people don't understand this when they hear your angelic voice. I believe I caught you say on one of the meetings we had, because we have all these meetings, y'all. We have these meetings to talk about so they make sure Mac Mania ain't shitty. So we have meetings to make sure this podcast ain't doo-doo. So I appreciate you, Brian Waters. He like casually dropped it. Brian Danielson is his favorite wrestler of all time. What? Did I hear that correctly, sir? I don't even know why I started running my mouth. I should have opened the floor with you, but I like to talk. So... Can you expound upon this?
Watch a wrestler's journey. It's their connection, right? So for me, it was when I listened to him talk about how he first started watching wrestling, and he was at a friend's house, and next thing you know, it was on TV, and he was just glued to the television. And then he went over to the Earl's video store. Y'all remember Earl's Reynolds? And he just kept getting all the wrestling that he could get his hands on. At that time, you know, Redacted was one of my favorite wrestlers, as well as Bret the Hitman Hart.
Which Redacted? There's too many of them now.
Yeah, Double H. There's a lot of Redacted players out there. Those two were my favorite wrestlers, right? But it was just something about that connection. And mind you, this is in the height of the Yes Movement. And this was a time where he had just lost to Randy Orton at SummerSlam. And I remember we was watching it at a bar, and I was so upset. But I was like, wow, this guy's like really my favorite wrestler. And as much as I love the WWE, I was not upset when he decided to go to AEW, because I, like him, felt it was best for the business. I felt he was kind of thrown into that WrestleMania main event. While it was cool to see him on the marquee, it was, you know.
Oh, it was a damn good match, though.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he saved it for me. He saved it for me personally, but.
That's because you got a thing against Edge.
That too. Look at that.
And we gonna unpack that, man. Because I'm telling you, there's a lot of things we got to unpack on this show. But we got plenty of time. And Flobo got some kind of beef with Edge.
Not about me. Ryan was talking.
R superstar.
Don't put me on trial. Ryan was saying something, guys. I'm just saying.
Go ahead, with Brian Danielson. You know, I'm still trying to get used to calling him that. But now, and Jack, you brought up the fact.
Yeah, it's tough.
Is it amazing?
He's
it's like a name
Daniel
flip. It's
Bryan
very hard to
me.
Do. Though. It's very hard. It's so hard.
I hate it because it was so hard to get used to Daniel Bryan, and now it's so hard to go back.
He's like, but that's my name. I'm like, I don't care, man. I don't care.
I'm excited. And like Jack said, just opening up the doors, you know, because we all know as wrestler fans, we want to see the Okadas and the Tanahashis over in the United States, and I think. Those are people with big personalities that when they come over, it's going to be even better for the business. So that trust factor is important.
Yeah, Okada's he's like an entity, you know. He's like a poltergeist, you know what I mean? Anywhere he has a presence, he has an aura, man, you know what I mean? So
poltergeists always go over, y'all.
Shout out to that movie, dude. That joint was fire, man.
That movie scared me as a kid.
Listen, any
way,
child that is our age that didn't get scared of poltergeists, you're a sociopath.
You are a poltergeist. You're a ghost. That's because you were rooting for the poltergeist. That's why you weren't scared.
Like, seriously, that movie is no joke. In other news now, for some reason, I'm over here checking the Twitter sphere, man, a place that gets me very depressed sometimes and very disheartening, and I'm seeing, listen, my man, Top Dollar. Top Dollar is trending top. No one hotter than Top Dollar. I mean, I said, why is Top Dollar trending? Is he all right? Is everything okay? You know, because every time I see your brother trending, I get a chill up my spine, just hoping everything's all right, wishing him well, literally reaching an Instagram.
That's cold, fam. Was it Hootie driving stop? Like, why?
listen. Yeah. And then I find out, you know, I kind of find out a little bit what's going on. Then I talk to Brian, then I talk to Jack, then I talk to Flobo, and they let me know what's really going on. And Top Dollar is trending because he dropped some kind of bars. I'm like, Top Dollar always drops bars. That's what he do. He's a ball dropper. He drops balls. He drops bricks of gold out of his pocket every time he walks out there. He drops bars, man. But this was a different, this was different stuff in particular. He apparently was talking about somebody. This was not confirmed. I guess it was a couple lyrics he might have dropped. And Top Dollar is trending for trolling two people from AEW, and this sparked all kinds of controversy. Jack Farmer, Brian Waters, Lobo Boys. I don't know what your thoughts are on this, but I literally was typing up some of the lyrics before we started the show so we can kind of unpack the lyrical content from Top Dollar to break it down.
I got every lyric right here in front of me. I did the same thing.
Yay.
Yay. We get to read. So that's how you sell podcasts, folks. You read.
You read. Reading is fundamental.
I'm sitting here like, y'all messed up. Y'all messed up.
Before, this was great. This is exactly, I love pro wrestling. This is at pro wrestling at its best when people are taking shots at each other. I think this is fun. I think it's great. Even though he didn't necessarily name names and things like that, the fact that we're thinking about it makes it better. The fact that we are putting the pieces together as fans makes it more fun. This is fantastic. I think this is such a cool thing that Top Dollar did. I am here for it.
Top Dollar, man. I'm telling you, man, I don't mean to gush, man, but I just like him, man. You know what I mean? You know, I just like Top Dollar, man. He brings a smile to my face. He warms my heart with glee. And when I see some of these lyrics that he was dropping, we know who he's talking about. Listen, man. And I just like that he was allowed to kind of discuss this without discussing this, because I didn't want the powers that be to get poor Top Dollar in trouble because he is not allowed to speak of other products. So I like that he did it in a very lyrical and clever way.
I mean, when you're trending on Twitter, that's money. You know, whether it's bringing eyeballs to the product. People are going to be tuning in to see what Top Dollar is doing. Everybody's going to be going to Top Dollar's Twitter account and then seeing what WWE is doing. So it's a win-win for him and the company.
Guys, I gotta be the guy to put the context in there, right? Because I gotta put the names out there. Young Bucks. Yeah. If you guys have been watching them, they've been up on their quote unquote shoe game, and Top Dollar did something that said, "Hey, look, you may do this for fun, but there is a subculture there." And the reason why I say that, because I understand in wrestling now with the Twitter wars, you can go back and forth about being the best in the world. I think it's fair game. I think saying your show won the, unless you're the CEO, saying your show won the ratings, fair game, right, Jack?
That's nonsense.
We're gonna get there. But this is actually actually important, because even though people say I have personal biases about everyone on the AEW roster, the Young Bucks are something I do have a personal bias with, and I'd be the first one to admit that.
Me too.
I know where I am. I know where I stand. Excuse me. So here's someone that's in calling someone out, going, "Look, you're doing this to look cool. This is actually something that people do, and I think that's completely fair and right." But he didn't have to go that hard, man. He gets it in one post. This dude did a song, he had a back of track, put together a small video. Like, you this guy get a whole production.
It's funny what you say though. This is because everything I echo every single sentiment from many different levels, man. I don't give a damn who got a problem with it, because I can talk about that all day. And if they were on this podcast, I'd be like, we got to talk. Right. But anyways, well, you know, and the brothers that know and the sisters out there, they know. But what I'm talking, here goes my personal opinion. I think Top Dollar went light. That's the problem. This how good Top Dollar is, Flobo. I think Top Dollar was in a good mood that day. I think he was casually spitting. I think he rolled out of bed, had a couple Folgers, and just started spitting in the booth. I think the camera was accidentally on. He did some very minor editing. I was literally, when I listened to this, I said, Heidi, I said, Top Dollar, they don't even know. He just barely getting started. I mean, he just stretching out. He was trying to be genuine, he was trying to be genuine that day and say, I'ma just peek out the door. I ain't gonna come out. I'm not gonna kick the door all the way up open. I'm just gonna peek out the door. So I think that was Diet Top Dollar going at the Young Bucks. No joke.
Wow. That's like the Thanos level. Like, I'm gonna pull my fingers with all the stones. Dang.
That's what I'm trying to say. Can you imagine if he really, really, really went in? Like, yeah. I think that's what's so great about Top Dollar. I think it was casual.
I want to see him go all out. I want to see him bring everything. Like I said, I love it when this kind of stuff happens. I love it that he's taking shots. I love that everything he's saying Now, I'm not going to pretend I understand every lyric in this rap, but it's yeah, I'm not, some of it. I just even if it does, even if I don't get
Eminem
it,
Eminem has opened
fun.
The door for you to discuss this with confidence, Jack. Yeah, don't. He's paved the way. He's taken all the shrapnel and all the hits. Don't be shy. Don't be bashful. Yeah, shout out to Marshall
about,
Mathers.
You can talk more about rap than Max Caster, Jack. It's cool. You can tell. No,
Max and I will chat about.
Yo.
But. Like I said, I think even the more basic stuff, like in real life, y'all 5'8", that's why you act fake. Like making fun of their size is, I know, a personal shot. I know that hurts.
Listen, man.
People get worked up over that. But that is, again, that's fun. I can't say, if as an AEW fan, let's say, I can't say I like MJF taking all these incredibly personal shots and say that's cool. And then when someone else takes an incredibly personal shot,
well said.
Say it's not cool.
That's well said.
Because by the way, I like it when it goes all directions. I like everyone talking crap. I always say wrestling's about conflict. I like it when people are talking trash to each other. So I like that there are some personal shots in here, but I like that it's personal shots without, it's not trying to take someone's job, but it's
Top
just
Dollar
talking
said,
trash.
Top Dollar said, y'all done went and got your sneakers in a twist. I'm like, COVID, you don't want it? See, I'm sicker when I spit? What is his problem? Why are you, what's wrong with you? That is that is so good, man. he got the sneaker thing. He checked that checkbox. Then it got real personal because COVID would be, you would get, it's sicker if you spit at a, you know what I mean? It's a double entendre. This thing's the unpack.
And let's not pretend. Ew.
they thought they said a heavy trap like it's back day. Trap,
that's my favorite.
Like it's back day.
That's my favorite. Because it took me a second to unpack that one. I was like, oh yeah, I like that.
He said, yeah, you got your penny for your thoughts. This is back pay. What the hell is going on? He's like his own personal Megazord. It's like he got all five Power Ranger Morphers and he just made an old Top Dollar Megazord. Nobody out of the Top Dollar.
Not a.
Everybody loves a good rap. That's the thing too. Like even if you go to the NBA, had at one point you had Damian Lillard battle rapping people. And just throwing discs. Everybody loves a good disc. So especially in the world of pro wrestling, this is great for the business.
Yeah, it is great for business. They say he lost his marbles, but I got tunnel vision like I'm sitting in a carpool, and my carpools never tunnel. My pen works in abundance.
That right there is scripture right there.
listen, y'all, come on guys, listen, like my carpal tunnel hand injury, he's a writer, he writes his and my carpal's never tunnel, my pen works in abundance. This, listen, let me tell you something, man. Top Dollar's a problem, man. Top Dollar literally don't need to wrestle, man. He can straight spit. That's all he can do. He can do hosting. And he just so happens to be a wrestler as well. And when it comes to people that can spit like that and write like that and rap like that and have that presence that Top Dollar has, he's hard to deal with when you can't do that. Like the people that he's attacking will have to have the equivalent like rap game as him to even like compare. Because all I've been reading is a bunch of angry like people on Twitter or social media just saying this is ridiculous. Like you got to do better than that.
A good point. Yeah, if someone raps like disses you in a rap, you can't just, even if you have a great put down, if you don't rap it, it doesn't work.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter what you say. Yeah. Even if it's accurate, even if it's like really clever, if it doesn't rhyme, no one cares. You've got to make it. It's got to have the beat and it's got to rhyme. Otherwise, whatever.
If I have slam poetry, that would rhyme. I still wouldn't count. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
snaps.
No, it's one real thing. Just like everything you guys are saying, man. It's good for the sport. It's good for pro wrestling. It's good that he's doing that. It's good that he's ruffling feathers. It's good that he was able to do that. We'll see if he's able to continue because I know they're strict about how things are addressed, you know, at the flagship. So hopefully he's able to be creative. And this is why they brought Hit Row to SmackDown. Let's hope they're going to let them upset the apple cart and be and do that, because some bothered him. Some got up underneath him, and he decided to kick that freestyle. Over 115,000 views right now in the Twitter sphere. Top Dollar doing all right, man. But
the beauty of it, though, please, is they're not going to figure out what this all means. That's the beauty of it all. That's why it's written.
You don't think they're hip enough to decipher?
You know how long it took to figure out what skeet means? They're never going to figure this rap out.
Listen, man, Jack, this is a family show, man.
Yeah. I mean, not anymore. Like, it used this to is be the a family
he
show.
He literally just turned.
You guys.
He turned this to a shout out to Lil Jon. No, but
it could have still been if you guys didn't say that. People still don't know what it means.
Jack, this is very early in the morning. You can't be doing this to these listeners, man. These children out here. And listen, I'm going to tell you right now, we're not unpacking that. We try to unpack a little bit of Top Dollar's bars, like the Da Vinci Code, but don't we ain't going to unpack what skeet means. Like, can't believe I said it. Oh my God, I can't believe I said it. I'm sorry, mama.
But I'm also going to unsubscribe so fast. My word.
That's our next Lil Jon getting these, so you know
Lil Jon getting
means.
Kids in trouble. Lil Jon getting kids in trouble, man. Let me tell you. Man, Jack, you're so edgy. What's going on? Top Dollar got into you. You know what I mean? Top Dollar possessed you like a poltergeist.
Maybe next week I'll drop some bars myself, you know?
Oh, it has to be done. It has to be done. Yo, I want to see Jack.
We start that farmer's market. You kick a verse on that farmer's market beat. I'm telling you, I'll be turning this show into Jack Mania.
I'm putting the poll out there after the show. Does Jack Farmer need a track?
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So look, we keep with the theme, man. We talked about it last week, and spoiler alert, peace a lot. Sometimes when I talk, I figure I'm giving y'all the benefit of the doubt that y'all understand what I'm saying. So I don't have to go down this whole entire list of why I say what I say. When old poor Evan Max says billionaire shouldn't tweet, well, what if he was this? That was a broad statement to say anybody of prominence shouldn't tweet a certain way. You know, I'm not talking about, hey, top of the morning to you, I hope you have a lovely day. I'm not, like, you guys should know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about somebody with prominence, a billionaire, someone that has literally achieved what people would dream to achieve, shouldn't come on Twitter and troll people. You know, that's my thing. And anybody that disagrees, why do so many people get in trouble for doing this? Why do so many people that have this kind of money have gotten canceled because they gotten too cute on Twitter? So what I'm trying to say is that's not going to happen to Tony Khan. But what I'm trying to say is a man of that, but like this, I respect Tony Khan too much to see this man tweeting at people that do like columns and little articles and stuff like that. Yesterday he was trending. So what the hell is Tony Khan trending for? He over here talking, like replying to people about ratings for 30 minutes, for a 30 minute from 10 to 10:30. Wait a minute. That's what I'm trying to say. Tony, I hold you in a higher regard, bro. What the hell are you doing? I'm trying to say.
But that's the thing. His job, see, you can't.
His job is to sit down
his
and
job
make
money. Is no, company.
No. His job is to promote. He is a promoter.
What?
That is his job with the company. He's a promoter for AEW.
Oh,
100%. That is his job. And look, we look at the tweet last week. By the way, last week's Rampage, not this one that just happened, but last week's, 502,000 viewers. This week, after a tweet, something that cost him $0, didn't buy advertising, didn't do any of that, he tweeted. It went up to 578,000 viewers. He gained 76,000 viewers
that's
because of a tweet. And it was when it was going against baseball. It was going against everything else. It had more competition, got more viewers because of that tweet. That would not have happened had that tweet not happened.
But see, this is what I'm saying. What I just said was he wasn't promoting in that tweet rebuttal. Someone said something about ratings, and he goes, well, actually, if you check the numbers, like, that's not promoting.
Agreed. That's what I'm saying.
That's not promotion. That is not promotion. What I'm trying to say is, the reason why I brought this up, because every time somebody like me talks, don't nobody care about what I got to say. But all of a sudden, somebody with credibility and clout backs up exactly what I say. Then all of a sudden, the narrative shifts. I just said this last week. All of a sudden, Eric Bischoff posts something, a video clip from his 83-week show. Shout out to Steve Kaufman.
Yeah,
this, and he dropped a shut the F up, stay in your lane, do you wish you were me type thing. And what I'm trying to say
and
is
he was wrong.
That, no, is he?
He was wrong. 100% wrong.
Wow.
Listen, I love Eric Bischoff. Wow. I love Eric Bischoff. In fact, I've got an interview with him dropping next week. I love Eric Bischoff. But I will say he's wrong. The ratings went up. It was a good move. Everything about AEW is growing. That company is growing. It's doing better, and he's been doing this the whole time. I don't know what metric you would use to say that this has been a bad idea for him. Now, I get what you're saying about things go bad on Twitter, but that happens for everybody. I think Twitter in general is probably a bad idea. Very rarely is tweeting a good idea for anyone on planet Earth, but his company's growing. Everyone says shut up and wrestle. His numbers are growing.
Of course, his numbers is growing because of commercials and marketing and money. Let's be real, man. It's not because of Twitter. Twitter is a microcosm of society. I know people like to think Twitter is a place where everyone is, but that's not true. The majority of people on Earth are not on Twitter.
There are people on Twitter, and that creates a conversation. Look, look how much time we spent talking about Top Dollar.
Because I'm talking about Top Dollar because I love Top Dollar.
On Twitter. But if he didn't post that on Twitter, we wouldn't have talked about it. No one would have known. If he left it on his personal website, topdollar.com, no one would have seen it. But he's out there talking about it in a public forum. He's showing a public forum. We see it. You have a promoter saying he has the best company, do whatever he wants to say on Twitter.
So why take shots at Eric Bischoff?
Why am I taking shots at Eric
Bischoff? Why did he take a shot? Because that's why Eric Bischoff responded. He took a shot. That's not promotion. We're not gonna make the same mistakes WCW did. That's
because everyone is saying that they are WCW 2.0. Everyone's been saying it since it started. They've been saying it since it started. They 100% have been saying that.
Okay, Jack,
you're lying to yourself if you're saying one's compared AEW to.
Oh no, WCW. I'm just saying they're not. I don't care what the hell people compared it to. It's not true.
Oh, that we agree with. But he's responding to the criticism. Which is fair. I think if someone talks trash about your company, then defending it, I think, is fair game.
So let me ask you this question, man, because you own a business, and frankly, we don't own corporations, but we're self-employed, right? You have a situation where the entire spirit of your company is hinged to one person, no matter who that is. Wouldn't you think of that at a level that may be a liability? That Tony may slip one day and cause AEW some harm the way he's going at random fans, i.e. journalists or anyone else in Twitter, the way he's going? Or you just saying everything's fine?
They're not hinged to one person, though. That's the thing.
If he is the most visible person, UFC was a huge operation before they got bought by Endeavor. But for a long time, it was Dana White. He didn't own it. The Zuffa brothers did. But when he owned it, he was the main face of it. If you're Tony Khan and you're going after people in the chat in Twitter and saying, you're wrong, look at
that's
this
what
metric,
I'm saying.
That metric, this head to head, this demographic thing, and you're so petty, you're not running a company. You don't think that'd be a liability going forward?
You keep saying he's not running the company. He is. It's going well. You can do victory laps when your company's winning. Tom Brady wins a Super Bowl. He's allowed to go do a Subway commercial.
Hold on. That's a Super Bowl now. Hold on. Now, wrestling fans out there. Hold on now.
The point is, the analogy is, if you're doing well, if his company was falling apart and there was all sorts of problems and things weren't going well, I would say, yeah, get off Twitter. But as far as the metrics go, for a three-year-old company, it is breaking every record for a three-year-old company of all wrestling ever. He's allowed to do that if he wants to. Now, again, If they're falling apart,
it's America, man. Let me just clarify my point. This is not a shout out AEW. This is not a shout out Tony Khan. This is a shot at, to me, anybody that's of that ilk. Anybody that is that
and
professional.
Let's not
anyone that is that accomplished.
Man wouldn't be tweeting like crazy if
the thing
was,
is, but he's not.
He was,
he's not though. But he's not. He's still alive.
He's a different age demographic.
Come on now. Don't you can't say
there we go.
But you can't say that. You can't say that Vince would tweet because he's not doing it. You can't say that. You can't say that. There's only one person doing it.
If he was Tony Khan's age, he would 100%.
You can't say that. You can't say that.
I can. I just did.
But because you can't say that. No, you can't.
I'll do it again. He'd be tweeting.
Jack, you could say it, but you can't because you can't say what something would do in a hypothetical land of make-believe. You can't say if this happened, this would happen. Like
he's literally on these conference calls, he's saying, maybe I should give AEW more wrestlers to help them out. He literally
said
that.
That goes to show they're not competition.
Listen, Jack, let me clarify
he's
my point.
He's not tweeting.
Let me clarify my point. Tony Khan shouldn't be tweeting at people that have little wrestling columns. Like, that's petty.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is ridiculous. Let me clarify what I'm trying to say, since people seem not understand what I'm saying. Like, Tony Khan is a man in prominence. He's everyone's like, ooh, that's so cool. No, it really isn't, though. No, it's not. What the hell are you worried about with this little article saying about? Who gives a shit? Why do you care?
But you don't think it's cool, but the fan base that likes AEW.
I think people sitting there like, yeah, Tony, do it. And then behind the back, the boys and girls are like, yo, is he really doing this? Why is he doing this? He need to calm down.
Yes.
No.
You can't say that. Have they said that? You can't say that.
This is the way I
interpret
it.
Under the rules, you can't say that, right?
No, under the thing I just said, you can't tell me a younger Vince would do something. He's not younger. Saying the time machine. You can't go back and say, you can't tell me
people in the back don't agree with Tony.
Unless it's clarified and confirmed, you can. You can't say a 30-year-old Vince McMahon
would be interested that if Twitter was around during the Attitude Era, right, to see. Me personally, I think we would. I think we would have seen more.
Vince would have been crazy
and this
on
just
there.
You know a guesstimation. Bischoff tweeting, and I think Vince would have been in the background, and perhaps it would have been more so Shane McMahon and Triple H doing the firing back.
That makes more sense to me than
because
than the
in
chairman
all honesty,
of WWE
Vince McMahon
doing
wasn't
it.
On Eric Bischoff's level.
Vince would have been out there doing it 100%.
Ted Turner's level because they were owners. Eric Bischoff was president. So that's the difference, you know? And I think when we see Tony Khan tweet, it's like, dude, you're the owner of this company, man. Like, why are you going to these little people?
Yo, dude. Thank you. That's all we're saying.
That's all I'm saying.
Because we have a chat.
Are you breaking the fourth wall?
And I was attacked by Jack. I said I'm breaking the fourth wall because I have a personal bias and about Tony. I don't care about the how good is a kid I'm alive. He's like, he probably is listening to this. He probably is coming to my house right now. But what I'm saying is, it's like there's a certain level you have to go, you know, I have a company to run. Let me do something else. You know what I'm saying? Me outsource that. You can brag all you want about demographics, whatever metric you use. I work for TV networks. I work for TV networks. They have their own metrics. But what I'm saying is it's a different thing when you go over to a random person who's not even verified, 200 fans, and be like, you're wrong, and here's why. It's like,
but their fan base likes it. The AEW fan base likes it.
No, everybody likes drama. Everybody likes drama. Everyone likes upsetting the apple cart. It's a thing. It's the human condition.
So you're everybody likes when he tweets. So it's
Twitter.
A good
Twitter.
Move.
Twitter. Twitter does. Twitter. The microcosms of society does that. The microcosm of society.
What I'm saying is, if he's doing something, he's been doing since the beginning.
He can do whatever the hell he wants, Jack. I'm just talking right now because he can do whatever he wants. He don't got to listen to Evan Mack. But I'm just trying to say he don't got to listen to me.
The only metric you're using is I don't like it.
No.
It's growing. No. Everything's going well. Everything he's doing is going well.
That's the point
I'm
making,
though. I don't like it.
But that's the point I'm making. See, that's literally the only point I'm making. People trying to make this something else that it is. I just go, I wouldn't do that. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I don't care what he does. This is a podcast to discuss things that I don't like and things I do like and things you guys like and things you guys don't like. I personally wouldn't do it. Tony Khan, you a billionaire. Do whatever hell you want. Just win. Just win, bro. That's all I'm saying. Be right. That's all I'm saying because I will still be here. I'm getting in better shape. I'm drinking green shakes.
Wait,
I'm going to be here for a long time. I'm going to be like, bruh, I was here. And I'm going to be like, I told you. I'm eating my spinach like Popeye. I'm going to be here, bro. So, like, what I'm trying to say is I love what you're doing. but I don't like the tweeting. That's all I'm saying.
I'm just saying I love it, and it's working. So I wouldn't expect him to stop. I don't think he should. Again, Flobo, for those who can't see, Flobo's flowing his head back.
He is. He is. Yeah,
he's throwing his head back because he's saying to himself right now, he's going, Jack's right, and I'm out of things to say.
This is what I'm not saying. Because every single time I say, Jack, that is a flawed way of running any business, you know that. You go, the fans.
It's not
We just established that Twitter's a small sliver of the wrestling thing. We just established, hey, look, you're winning. Why are you going after people? Well, the fans are winning every metric.
Yes.
What metric is being impolite? What metric is going on talking out the side of your face, Jack?
We just talked about how we like it when people take shots at each other. We just talked about how a guy did a rap that was great. Just because
he's not
the
owner of a company.
Thank you.
The fact that he's the owner makes it better. It makes it better. If Jerry Jones comes out and says the Cowboys are going to win the whole thing, it's better than if it's just some guy on the bench.
Now, hold on, wait, but Jerry's a very respectful oil tycoon, you see what I'm saying? Jerry's on our Twitter being like, dude, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Like, what?
If Jerry knew how to use Twitter, he would 100%.
You see, you're taking shots at old guys, and that's why they don't tweet. They don't tweet because they too busy on their $100 million yacht like Jerry Jones has.
That's because Jerry Jones probably still has one of those phones you have to, like, turn
respect
the dial.
Respect this man. Rotary dial? Respect this
cell phones?
Man.
What?
Respect this man. I will not have any Jerry Jones slander on this. He's made more black millionaires than anybody on earth. I ain't trying to hear nobody slander Jerry Jones. I dare anybody to show me more black millionaires they made than Jerry Jones. I will not let anybody do it. Yo. Shout out to Tony Khan.
Yeah. Well, I rest my case. I like it. I think it was great, and I want more of it, and I think it's the right thing to do.
Jack said he likes it, he loves it, he wants some more of it.
And I want Vince to do it. I would love for Vince to. He won't, but I would love for Vince to do it.
Shout out to who's that? Brooks and Dunn. Who's that? Is that Trey McGraw? Tim McGraw. I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. The Tim McGraw thing. Shout out to Tim McGraw. Yeah, brother, no country too. Listen, man. Look, Eric Bischoff, I stand with you. But oh my God, man.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Let me talk about Crown Jewel. Let me talk about a couple things. What match are you guys most interested to see in Crown Jewel? Anything that's tickling your fancy?
Well, for me, it's got to be the King of the Ring tournament. You know, this one here tends to be so different than the other ones. We have everyone touching the crown early. We have two protagonists last faces in the finals. Like, and one of them could possibly be King Balor if everything goes right. That's what I said it. So I'm looking forward to that
goes
one.
Right.
And of course, you know, Doudropper's Zelina Vega. That'd be kind of fun too. So
that'd be really dope. When Brian Olive on the Twitter spheres, I'm like, yeah, King Woods. Oh, hell, King Woods. I'm like, hey, Brian Waters, shut up.
Thanks for being on the show, Brian.
Get on so he can blast me in public. You gotta love it, right?
It was all a big setup for.
I'm getting.
It was. It was all led to this moment right here. No.
Evan just hit the big leg drop.
No, it's gonna be. No, I'm great. Yeah, I'm a big mark for King of the Ring. I love that. But just like you're saying, the matchups are great. It'd be great to see what they would do with Fergalicious. But yeah, man, Zelina Doudrop, man, my goodness, or Piper Niven, as I call her very respectfully.
Sure.
That's exciting. Come on, man. I'm actually intrigued to see No Holds Barred, Goldberg, Bobby Lashley.
Can I ask you a question about this? Jack
was going first.
I'm going to ask you, with the way this has happened, this is going to be a silly question, but... Yeah. Can Goldberg win and not kill Bobby Lashley at this point? Like, he said, 17 times. So if he just pins him and leaves, is it going to be like, whoa, you said 17 times. I'm just making that number up. But you said 17 times you're going to kill Bobby Lashley.
He said murder.
I am going to murder you. And he's triple downed on it. If can Goldberg win without doing something, even if it's like a silly like eye for an eye situation, like can he Chasking win?
Match.
Bear me softly, brother.
I mean, but that's not like you can't make it a casket
Goldberg,
match now.
Goldberg, and I do like to break some news to you. I know it's no holds barred, but you still can't go to jail if you kill Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, especially Saudi Arabia. Oh man, I wouldn't try to attempt to. No, but look, man, I just like it's illegal there too. Guys, don't flame me in chat. I'm just saying, look, this would have been a marquee matchup. Nothing to say, hey, look, Bobby Lashley Goldberg. But I think to me, it's a story that's taking me out of it. It's like, who do I root for?
Yeah. I get you there.
I mean, he's. I get you there. Yeah, so it's kind of weird, man.
Because it's also to the point too. Like it was like. This kid did attack him from behind.
With all due respect, like, Gage, get your narrow ass out the ring.
Yeah, so, Bobby Lashley's kind of right. He did actually just defend himself in a fight.
Hey, Gage, what the hell are you doing? Be hopping in the ring. That's a grown man. That's a vampire. We've already established this on this podcast.
Yeah.
Bobby Lashley, 777 years old.
When Cody Rhodes said when he was younger and his dad, before he was smarting up to the business, and here comes Haku or Ming at the time, and he said he was like ready to fight him.
Right.
So, you know, he was defending his dad. Now, I wouldn't have did that. You know, I love my dad. That's the reason why I put the H on my name, because my dad's first name is Howard. So take him with me everywhere. But look, I'm not
beautiful
doing that. And he would have said, oh, you stay out of grown folks' business.
My dad would have been, well, you stay your behind outside that ring.
Yeah.
Gage has been lifting. He's been doing squats. He's been spearing stuff. He's been tackling stuff. So he thought he wanted to smoke.
I love my dad, but I'm just going to say it right now. I'll say it publicly. If my dad's in a fight with Bobby Lashley, Dad, you're on your own.
This is the man on Twitter you guys keep defending for this Tony Khan.
Yeah, he defends Tony Khan by his own dad? That is cold, brother. Arctic.
Are you going to – look, have you seen Bobby Lashley? I'm not messing with
him. Your dad is getting destroyed. You're like, but Tony Khan is winning with the fans.
There's no
thing about that. He's like, Dad, you on your own. Tony Khan, keep on tweeting.
Oh, no. Bobby Lashley's going to go to fight Tony Khan. Like, Tony, you're on your own.
No, listen. So, like, I guess maybe I'm intrigued just to see. I don't know, man. I think it's just cool. Maybe it's just cool to see Goldberg still being able to put that time in, put that work in, be able to be fit enough. If you listen to him interview, that's the first thing he always says. He always goes, when I feel like I'm not physical enough to do it, like then I'll stop doing it. I just like that he still has that passion and that desire to be one of the best in shape people at that age on the roster. And everyone's like, oh, he can't go that long. I go, even at his apex, the match weren't that long.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't sit here and say that the tail end of his career, he doesn't go long. That's what was his matches. I guarantee you, if you look at the metrics, his matches are probably shorter when he was younger.
I think as long as Hogan.
Like when he was a WCW.
Or Nitro, right? Oh, Nash.
Yeah.
No, it was. No, I would say it was probably DDP, Hell in Havoc.
And the one at SummerSlam wasn't that short either. It was actually a little. I like that match, actually. You know what I mean? I like how it was. You know, so like I'm excited to see the spectacle. I think they're wasting a lot of great matches in Saudi, but that's just my personal opinion, man. I know it's a business thing. I know this is a business. I'd rather see that for Survivor Series or for Mania or Flobo's favorite SummerSlam.
Yeah. You know?
could Crown Jewel, if they keep doing these big matches like this, could it replace Survivor Series as the big four? I know everyone's been saying Money in the
Bank. That's a bold statement.
But if they keep doing matches like this, because it's kind of the same time.
It's huge.
These
matches are huge.
This is the first one. I'm like, this is actually an amazing show.
Card is stacked.
Yeah. I there's another hot take I have. I think Survivor Series long outgrown its usefulness. So I'm ready for something fresh. Then again, you know me and Thanksgiving, right? No, because it's a pay-per-view that really was like, it's a Thanksgiving show. That's what really was the original feel. And they try to make it the matches that don't really have any storyline. Now it's a whole bragging rights thing that doesn't really work out. So I'm cool with freshening that up. But I do think that the idea of it being a Saudi Arabia, even though I'm for it, I know it's polarizing. For them to say, okay, this is now a big four or not.
That's a good question. That might be the poll question for sure, though, Flobito.com. Has Survivor Series outlived its usefulness? Should Crown Jewel replace Survivor?
Just don't tag me, bro. Because I know.
I'm not gonna say Flobo did this, but I feel like Flobo did.
I think you'd be surprised. I think a lot of people think it's kind of gone. Outside of I used to love it, I think a lot of people understand it hasn't really mattered in a long.
That's
time.
Interesting. Yeah, like, no. And shout out to the poll last week, man. The closest poll we ever had was is Roman the best in the business? 58% said no, 48% said yes. The 50% said more, 48% said yes. It was very, very close. So I believe the people are split on if the great Roman Reigns is over. But I think a lot of y'all just contrarians because y'all know that's the dude. Roman. Let's get Crown Jewel, man.
Is Brock versus Roman? I think maybe I said this last week. Is that poster? Is that the biggest matchup they've had outside of Reigns Cena? Like in how long? Like I can't remember. When you think about just how big Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, this version of Roman Reigns is. I don't know if I can remember a bigger matchup. Maybe besides John Cena Roman Reigns, but now this feels bigger. This feels
and it's. And
it's a big match,
and that has to be a testament to what Roman's done, man. Because they've wrestled before, you know what I mean. That has to be a testament to this new version of Roman Reigns. This is how you know that you really can reinvent a superstar. This is how you know all hope is not lost. No, not everyone's Roman, but Roman. That's what makes him special. He set this benchmark where if your character is not doing what you wanted to do, there is a chance. That literally gives me a chance to think something could happen with Karrion Kross. No joke, man. Listen, people like to gloss over, man. Roman Reigns, they hated this dude, man.
Yeah.
They hated him for the reasons why, like they hated him for getting the push by the top brass. Once they find out you are a corporate champ in real life, they will try to sabotage you. For a man to go away, come back and be better than ever and change the crowd like that, he gives hope to me to anybody whose character is floundering, the Keith Lees of the world. And the Karrion Crosses of the world, he gives people hope, man. I'm sorry, he gives people hope. Mm-hmm. My goodness,
this is why I'm a character person. You look at for me, this match is good not because of Roman Reigns, yes, not because of Brock Lesnar, yes, but the interplay between those and Paul Heyman, like the whose alliance is he on, like head of the table, the wise council, the old stuff. Like there is enough for everyone to grab onto. This isn't just slapping people. This isn't team redacted versus team redacted in Saudi Arabia. This is something that had months.
Yeah, it's been something we've been wanting to see literally since Roman came back. Ever since Paul Heyman aligned with Roman Reigns, we have been wondering where does Brock Lesnar stand? So to Jack's point, biggest match, you know, outside of, you know, the biggest probably special attraction was Goldberg versus Undertaker just because of the history and the history alone, nothing else. But this right here, from a story perspective, it doesn't feel like a throwaway. It doesn't feel like, okay, we're just doing this match just to give them something and we're going to allow you, the fans, because we have our own network and our own capabilities, we're going to allow you to watch it. No, this has been a build up to Crown Jewel, and I think it's at a great distance in between Extreme Rules and the Survivor Series to make this one special.
Wow.
Yeah, I agree. My biggest complaint about these Crown Jewel shows and is that they've always just felt very thrown together, to your point, that it's just like, hey, here are big
like a
matches.
big house show,
yeah, where these matches all have great stories building into
absolutely
them. Seth Rollins versus Edge, you know, with all due respect, Flobo, I think has a great build to it.
We go unpack that, man.
It's a good build. It's a good build. No, you're right.
It's been built really, really well. Brock versus Reigns built very well. There's a lot of firepower in the women's matches. This show is a good show. And if you don't like it, then you're just, I'm going to say, I think you're just being a hater as from a show standpoint. If you're, now there's politics. I don't really count politics when I talk about these shows because it gets way too messy. So just look at the show. If you're like, oh, Crown Jewel sucks, you're just being a hater because this is a phenomenal show.
And I like that. Listen, I like that the two women's matches. Listen, it's huge. It's a triple threat with the three top. Wonderful ladies in the business, and listen, man. Like I don't want to get into what people do in their country. I'm just saying it's good that WWE is like, we having this match.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're having it here. We'll respect your customs and your ways to a certain degree, but this match must be had, and it must be had in this place. We gonna break down barriers. Y'all can do whatever y'all want to do, but we're going to break down barriers. So I'm excited to see the ladies cook. I know it's a long flight. I know there's a lot going on. So shout out to everybody that's making that trip, because everyone acts like you're just supposed to just do whatever because you work for a company. That is a hell of a sacrifice. That is a journey, man. Mm-hmm. That is a journey. You got to circle back around and come back and do some more stuff. Like these people, man, what they do, man, all professional wrestlers, all on all platforms and all promotions, man, shout out to them for the sacrifices they make, traveling places for their craft and the things they love to do on a very, very serious note. Yeah. Before we wrap this bad boy. Okay. What do you want? What do you want? This is your show too. What?
We talk about people, things that people complain about. The one thing I complained about the Crown Jewels and Super Showdowns and Greatest Royal Rumbles is that Mansoor would have appeared out of nowhere and have a match and he would win. And I felt like, well, dang. But now I think, to be fair, to Jack's point, he's on Twitter. If you follow the real Jack Farmer on Twitter, it's like this has been one of the craziest, like, awesome stories that you can really sink your teeth into and give Mansoor a reason to watch him fight, which is all I really want.
Don't just have your boy just run the Super Royal Rumbles and stuff like that and show up just because he has the same bloodline as somebody over there. Listen, build this dude because he's actually really good at what he does. He's a class act too, professionally, and he actually is really, really good at what he does. Give him something. Give him something to do. Build a storyline. Write a script.
Yeah,
jeez, Louise, man. Write something. Write a story. Stop acting like these people. Like, come on, man. Write.
Yeah, right.
Fans are not stupid, guys. No. Tweet Tony Khan. No.
Wait, what?
No, you're right.
Listen, I'm trying to get Tony Khan to tweet at this show, man, so we can blow up.
Oh, just say if your rings are bad. That's all you gotta do.
Yeah, yeah. No. Oh, that's all I can. Yeah, see, listen, you don't understand. I kid you not. I'm like, my plan worked, Tony. You fell for my trap. This was my promotion of the Mac Mania podcast.
Brian H. Waters is gonna see Tony Khan back. No, Tony, it's a trap.
Don't fall into my clutches. Don't fall into my clutches. But no. Before we get to the last segment, Flo, but why do you hate Edge?
Damn, the show's almost done, man. We're out of time. I would love to go into that. You know, like there's a very short list of
no wrestlers. Comment.
Yeah, a very short list. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. Go Tony.
We'll get to. I'm messing with it. We'll get to that later. Yo, now time for the Farmer's Market.
You know, so this is
Edge.
Edge. Edge. Bye now.
You know, I last week I picked a guy by the name of Jinder Mahal, and you know, I said that now
we
is
all
the
bought.
Time
we all bought. By the way, we did
we
all
bought.
Buy.
Listen, everyone bought, and I know everyone's probably looking and saying to themselves, "Look, he lost, Jack. You were wrong." All I'm saying is, now is an even better time to buy. The stock's dipped even lower. You buy the dip. It's an even better time to buy. He's about to make his way over to SmackDown. Jinder Mahal, double what? Down. Buy now. Go, Jinder Mahal.
I'm actually Jinder Mahal again. Double farmer's market.
A double farmer's market.
Here's a swerve. I'm buying in. Because that King Nakamura doesn't need an IC title for too long. I'm looking at that going, who could take it off him? I'm thinking the modern day Maharaja.
But you get a better value now than you did last week.
Because stock has dropped.
Yeah, you can buy twice as much Jinder for the same price.
I like Waters, it, you know, I mean, he would have an opportunity. You could see Jinder winning the Intercontinental Championship. That would add to his resume. He's already been WWE champion. He's already been United States champion. And for what it's worth, he's been the 24/7 champion. Why not put the IC title on Jinder Mahal? I mean, just imagine the matches and the back and forth that his group would go with Shinsuke Nakamura. And man, this would be some fun stuff.
Boobs, yeah.
Because I know, spoiler alert, Boogs can actually wrestle.
I know
it may not seem like it, but he's
a strong guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I'm trying to say is the tag team, you know, there's a lot of things that can happen right there. I'm buying this stock. Double buy.
Double buy. And shout out to Representation Matters, man. Nakamura being the champion, Jinder Mahal gunning for it. Ah, man, I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm starting to see things on the Twitter sphere. Like, you know, there's people making, like, Vince McMahon, like, black. Now here goes the thing about this kind of stuff though. See, but when brothers put a white person in blackface, it's okay. You see what I'm saying? This is we living in some dangerous times, man. Like you could just do something like that, but if he'd have posted it, he'd have been canceled. This is the crazy. We in a crazy world.
Photoshop skills in this McMahon.
Listen, according to Jack, he tweets. According to Jack, he can tweet. He can do everything.
I say it's too old to tweet, but Flobo makes a joke about Photoshop, and everyone's like, ah, you're right.
Yes.
If this was 20 years ago, he would be Photoshopping and like whatever, Jack Farmer.
You know, every picture of him would have a filter over it. If he was
Pompadour filter.
Listen, man. Listen. So the reason why I said that ridiculous thing I just said is because people are feeling like WWE is getting very, very multicultural, very, very ethnically ambiguous. You know what I mean? They say they're trending in all the right directions. You know what I'm saying? So, Fobo putting his hands up. Why are you putting your hands up? I'm not putting you under arrest.
No, I'm just saying I can talk about why that is on another episode. But
all I'm
saying is diversity tends to be very convenient in entertainment when things are not doing well. That's all I'm going to put it out there. But I like the fact that more people from different backgrounds are getting featured, and the fact more West Indians are on a TV screen. Shout out to Biggie.
I want to see now the show is over. He want to just leave us on a cliffhanger. This show is over. Shout out to Cliffhanger. I just watched that again. Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, yeah.
Young Michael Rooker, man. Shout out to Cliffhanger.
Michael Rooker.
Yeah, young Michael Rooker. I was like, yo, he's like all the way in this movie. Shout out to John Lithgow doing a terrible British accent.
That was bad.
Yes. Yeah, it was. I just got to know he was British like halfway through the movie. I was like, oh, my God, he's doing British. But like, that's it for the Mac Mania part. Yo, Brian Waters, appreciate you, man. Come back. We got to do the one. I'm trying to do something special on the show. But too much fire
I'll take
keeps
the heat
happening
for that.
In the wrestling world.
It's not his fault, yo. So it's my
fault. We got to let them know that we're producer. Yes, it's Mac Mania. The reason why it's Mac Mania because Mac Mania was taken by someone who hasn't been on since 2017.
Yeah. Who do we contact to have them just yank that?
I was so devastated. So we had to. So it has to be It's Mac Mania. So follow It's Mac Mania because we can't just do Mac Mania because a lovely lady has stolen it.
Stolen it first.
Well, you mean she stole like a? I'm spitballing here. Yeah, follow us, Mac Mania, Real Jack Farmer, at Flobo Boyce. Am I correct?
That's correct.
Yep. At Brian H. Waters. Am I correct? At Evan T. Mac, guys. Mac Mania podcast. Tony Khan. Holla at your boy.